this was a time to where I'm sitting around listening to people talk. Like, though, it was two times. The first two times I went to, I went to Montreal twice. I would sit and I was kind of honestly intimidated. You're sitting around with people from everywhere, and normally, you know, I'm in a conversation and I'm able to blah, 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 this and this and that. I'm sitting at these tables with the people and I'm just sitting back like,
I'm just sitting listening
because there was so much stuff going on. And then this stuff that they, I'm like, I don't even know what they're talking about. Like, you know, because we're talking about, this is my first time out the country. So and now I'm getting to see how other countries view us as a country, as American. Like, you know what I'm saying? So it was a bunch I was learning. So I'm just sitting back. And it was a little intimidating at first. But that's when, that's what made me be like, I gotta be international. I gotta, like, I gotta step up my film game some more. But just from a worldly view,
this,
you know what I'm saying?
It's like a bigger place than
this. And that's what,
and Charlotte. It's like, man, this place is, this world is, you know,
so
what
much
I mean?
Bigger.
It's so much, and there's so many like-minded people and people that want to see films and people that want to see different cultures and things like that. It's, it's just so much out there.
So much. March 2013. So 2013 is when I started the festival run, but September 2013 is when I went to Montreal. And so after that, like I said, I came back and then it was like, all right, it, then when I made the next film, the next two films, they were class projects, you know. So I was utilized, I was like, yo, When Tables Turn. When Tables Turn and The Addiction.
Okay.
The Addiction.
Tables Turn with Shelton.
With Shelton. Right. And that was, I had had that concept, and that was like we was a producing and directing class. And that's when Camille and I worked together on the first time. She was a producer. I was a director. Aisha was the writer. And Jared was the DP. Okay. And that's when we came together and made that.
Damn it. Come on, man.
And so then that was great because on Evelyn Black, I wrote it, I directed it, I shot it.
So many hats.
And so on When Tables Turn, that was the first time that I was in a position to where I had to relinquish different duties to other people. And that was great for me. Because I just had always been used to having to do things by myself. You know what I'm saying? From that standpoint. So it was like, now you have to trust other people to, okay, this is the producer. This is the writer. You know, this person is going to shoot it. So I just had to direct it. You know, and so that ended up being great. That was great. The concept of it, it was about a gentleman who, this is how life can come at you fast. And he ended up, he was on top, and karma just kind of got him. He ended up being in a situation to where he was homeless.
Will that be all, sir?
Ah, yeah, that'd be it.
Alrighty. That'll be 420.
420. Look, I'm a little short right now, and Stacy normally is helping out. I'm good people.
If it was only a few cents, don't worry about it.
It's more like a couple of dollars.
But he was so prideful that he wasn't letting anybody know. So he was still like walking around with a
taking
suitcase.
Taking it till you make it.
And a suit and a briefcase, you know what I'm saying? Like he was still like.
But he still got it.
Right, you know. And so that ended up being that, you know, went on the festival circuits with that. I actually won some awards with that, you know, so it was, but it was just, like I say, coming from a different, it wasn't as dark, the theme wasn't as dark like an Evelyn Black or Subconscious Whispers the following year, but it was something that a lot of people could relate to.
And that's the thing I noticed with your films is they're human stories, you know what I mean?
Right.
Even with Evelyn Black, it's stories people can relate to.
Right.
You know, with women, yes, they can relate to the situation Evelyn Black was in. With Tables Turn, you could you could relate to
Neil.
That.
It was Neil.
That was played by Sheldon.
Yeah, Sheldon.
Yeah, and you could relate to that. And then with the one that we worked on together, Subconscious Whispers, it was like,
man,
that was dealing with mental health. And that was back in
2014. Yeah.
You know, so it's human stories.
Yeah.
You know.
There's always a level of conscious. There's always a level of, it's a theme that, you know what I'm saying, like you said, a human element, a human, mm-hmm, like something that you can actually, people can relate to. Like, I remember being at, the Legacy, the Delta Legacy.
Yeah.
And screened Evelyn Black.
Yeah.
And this was like all of the Deltas in there, right? And this woman sitting beside me, she was just like, that's my story. Like, I'm Evelyn Black, and I'm just like.
She had no idea who you were.
No, she knew, oh, okay. She knew, but it was the fact that she was like, yo, like.
She can relate.
She's like, I can relate. And I was like, man, well, I hope that the whole story ain't you, because, you know, Evelyn right. Black is kind of dark.
Right.
Evelyn Black was, you had to, like, Evelyn Black was, she goes there, you know, but we'll be seeing her again, you know.
What inspired that story? Like, you just literally just came up with it?
Yes, I just wanted it, like I said, I wanted to do something different and dope. And I remember talking to a professor of mine, and he was the guy that, like, really helped me and showed me how to create a story beginning, middle, and end. Like, he laid it out, and I used to sit after class and everybody was gone, and he would just stay in there with me and, like, one-on-one, like, go through the whole process with me. You know what I'm saying? Like, because he saw it in me. He was like, yo, you a filmmaker. He told me that. He was like, yo, you a filmmaker.
When did you figure out, like, it was also time to, like, end that journey with the circuit and everything?
With the film festivals. It was really, after Subconscious Whispers, that's actually the first film that we worked on together.
Yep.
As far as, like, conceptualized it, like, that's when we really started seeing how we would be working from the standpoint of creating a storyline,
like,
and all of that.
Like what we talked about earlier about how we feed off of one another.
Yeah.
That was where it was first birthed.
Yeah.
Where we was just like, wow. You know what I'm saying? Like, we created that thing so fast.
Right.
We created the script quick.
Right.
And then next thing you know, it was like, it was time to shoot it.
This is day one of the shoot of Subconscious Whispers. We get some things worked out with the chroma key. It's going to be a great shoot. This film is going to be one of the best films of 2014. Mark my words. I'm the director, Michael Foster, and we are about to get it in. From what he showed me, as long as you keep the cameras, you know, like you said, on that arc, mm-hmm, even because the one on the back porch, we might not do the 360, but we'll do it like, you know, we just kind of showing them, like, we'll be kind of like
freeze.
Yeah.
So what we have to do, we have to take a picture, freeze that frame, and I'm going to use that as a reference to kind of like dish over and create the smoke, you know, kind of like mat it out and create the shape of the smoke, so everything would be frozen, because you can have something moving and something's not, you know.
Okay.
So, but yeah.
Today's shoot, I'm very, very excited about just getting it in, starting production. I'm just so stoked about production where, and then Mike came up with the story, and then it pretty much just snowballed into something much bigger.
See, what you're going to do, you're going to hold the pose for me. We're going to do a 360 movement, okay? And the camera's going to fly around them while everything else is frozen. So this is what we're going to work on. So it starts like this. All right. Now, we're going to move. Just hold the pose for me. Can you extend your hand a little more, Mike?
Extend?
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And we're going to dolly and push it. It's going to be the first movement, and we're going to push him and then go around.
Wow.
It's going
to
be that.
Now, and we had been, now we had been working on Position of Power too, as far as with that, with the with the going back and forth with the concept wise.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I think that's what actually helped us out when we got to the Subconscious Whispers. We was already like, we knew, you know what I'm saying? But that's the first one that we actually, once we did that, we produced it. Like, we did it.
We actually produced the whole thing.
But that's a short, it was a short film. Position of Power was a script storyline that we've been working on. Started like 2010, and then like that's what this whole, well, we got that whole world that's about to come. We'll talk about that later as well.
But
it's so much, yeah. But Subconscious Whispers was so dope. And then that was the first of my films that I wrote that I actually played the lead in. And
oh, so you're into acting.
Right, a little bit. You know, it's funny because I don't consider myself an actor, even though people keep telling me to stop saying that. But it's, I just don't. I mean, I'm an actor, but I don't. It's different. Like, I look at myself as a writer director first.
Action. Caller, no, listen, caller, look, I want you to look directly into your TV screen as I say this, all right? Now think about this for a second. You have no business calling me crazy. You're the one that's crazy, all right? You're the one that's crazy. You're the zombie. You're the fucking slave. Listen to me, listen. Now look, think about this. Think about this for a second. If you really want to control people, all you have to do is control how they perceive God. Think about that for a second, okay? Think about that. When these so-called religions were established, when they were established by people that had a certain type of agenda in mind. People, all right? It's a simple plan of divide and conquer. And you would know that, but you're so busy being force-fed the bullshit that the media is chomping down your throat. You know what this is?
I kind of...
We're
going to
take a short break.
Fill in and do what needs to be done.
Okay.
And so I can do what needs to be done. And but so if I'm focused on acting, I can act.
I think that makes you an actor.
It does. It really does. No, it does.
I mean, I was just saying.
No, it really
I think
does.
That qualifies. Yeah, but anyway,
it does. It's different. I don't know why. It's different for me.
Yeah. I wish I had a meme for you.
Right.
What?
Right.
Yeah. So we are about to do. I don't know what scene number it is, but it's a scene nine. Thank you, script supervisor. Right on time. Scene nine. This is actually the scene where. My character Horace and Isis, they come from the psychiatrist's office, so this is going to be a, kind of a tense scene.
Action.
The supporting characters, I wrote all of them actually stronger than the lead character.
So why'd it was you do a that?
It was well because at that point, because I was acting and I was still directing. So this was the first film of mine that I wrote and directed and acted in. So what happens a lot of times is you might do a good job directing the movie, but your acting is bad, or not bad, but maybe subpar. Mm-hmm. Something's going to suffer because you're doing so. What I didn't want that. I didn't want to be directing the film and then people be like, well, but your acting is kind of subpar. Or your acting is good, but the direction of the film is kind of subpar. So what I did purposely in that movie, in writing the script, if you look at it, I mean, my character is a good character, but it's, if you look at the storyline, it's the gentleman, mm-hmm. Isis, you know, like right. You look at all of those different characters and they play a very...
They're a more significant role.
Which film is this one again?
This is Subconscious Whisper. So this was a psychological thriller.
Mm-hmm. That's the one I was saying. We're dealing with mental health.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
It's really a deep film. It's really deep. Deep short film. But yes. You're going to be seeing more of that on the network as well.
Yeah. Hey!
Let me read this script.
So good.
Let me read this script second. Took back.
How did you go about casting the roles on that one? Like, did you feel like you had to get more in touch with, like, the character, knowing, like, either whoever was submitting their audition for that, did they have to, like, go through that, actually feel it? Did you feel like it was supposed to be, like, more personal?
For that one, you know what? We didn't do auditions for Subconscious Whisper.
No, I think you already had.
You already knew.
A lot of times, I already kind of know
okay.
who I want for certain roles. There's certain spots we might audition for. But for the most part, honestly, when I write.
Does that play a part when you already
know who I'm writing for?
Got
it. And that helps me.
I happen to be on set and getting this film situated, Subconscious Whispers. The idea came to me a little while ago, and I knew exactly the right people to actually contact to be able to get this film done, all the way from the cast down to the crew.
And I'm looking at the kids, and the father like has to grab one, like Chad or somebody says, "What's with this?" did the camera and the five people stand there not give it away? You know,
I let him tell him. It's just like, hey, that's. Because normally I've worked with them before, so I know their voice. I know how they're going to deliver it, so it's easier for me to write for them.
Hey, if I were at the end, because is this scene after we're in the psychiatric office or before? Oh, okay, so I was going to say something like, let's just say I have a way of getting in his head.
This is, excuse me.
So, but that would make sense because I don't know that yet.
Not there yet.
Yeah,
position power yet.
Hey, how much do you love me, Horace?
Like I said, I played Horace, the lead, but then we had Fred Forte played the gentleman, and Dinah Sade, she played Isis.
Dinah.
And we had all worked together mm-hmm. before, so it was like, you know, and Jay played the network executive, and he was in The Addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Jay Cardell, but then Jay Cohen was the therapist, the psychologist, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? We worked with him before in The Addiction, so it's all like, it's normally, that's kind of how it is in the industry. You work with people that you already kind of know. That's why you kind of see certain directors working with some of the same actors, because it's like, all right, well, I already know what such and such is going to bring to the table.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so it kind of cuts out the questioning of...
Right.
And then the time, it cuts down the time, too, mm-hmm. of having an audition and all of that type of stuff.
This is after the rant,
okay.
before everything else, though.
Subconscious Whispers was great. And then I knew, like I said, in putting that together, so with me directing and acting, I have to have somebody behind the camera that I can trust. And so that's when James and I had been working on different projects. So that's when I really kind of started honing my skills, acting and directing at the same time. So people, those are the things that people don't see. Like, we were, you know, shooting like short films where I was acting and directing just to make sure I can balance both, you know, and really kind of go from directing the scene, like, yo, James, this is how we're setting up the shot. And we would, me and him and I would discuss that. And then I could flip into the character mm-hmm. and go deep into the character where, you know, the character needs to go.
Baby. Another one?
Yeah. What was I saying?
You were having a conversation with someone else. What, is you want to talk about it?
No.
Baby, I really think that...
I said I don't want to talk about it.
You know what? That's the damn problem. You don't want to talk about it. You act like I wasn't the one sitting next to you while you have a meltdown.
Meltdown? In front of
Call it what you want, okay? Point of the matter is you're not getting back on the station until you go see a psychiatrist.
If I go to the psychiatrist, people are going to think I'm crazy.
If you don't see one, they're going to think you're crazy.
That's how I started, you know, pretty much, you know, getting myself in that space to be able to do that in the long run.
Everybody that we have on set is phenomenal in what they bring to the table. And I feel like if you put a bunch of phenomenal people together, then you're going to have like a certain level of phenomenalness. I just made that up.
Film school, I was acting in other people's films. That's when you hone your chops. Because people are like, oh, well, Mike, will you come act in this? Or I would go shoot somebody else's film. Or, you know, somebody would do sound on my film. So that's kind of how we all started. You kind of figured all that stuff out. And it was an exciting time because we had the premiere for Subconscious Whispers in Martha's Vineyard. That's when I was in Martha's Vineyard. So it was the world premiere of this film. We shot it in March. And then we had the world premiere in August. Martha's Vineyard, that was a whole experience because they call it the summer's finest film festival. It was in August. This is 2014. So during this time, this is when the Obamas go to vacation there. They were there on the island while I was there. So I just remember the whole, and it's a journey to get to Martha's Vineyard. Like I had to, from Charlotte, I had to fly from here to Boston. Then I get to Boston Airport. You had to take the Peter Pan bus from 2.5 hour bus ride from Boston to like Woods Hole or something like that. Then from there, you got to get on the ferry. You know what I'm saying? So it's like,
so
it's a whole journey.
Yeah.
Right? So by the time you get to the ferry, so you're on the ferry, and it's just like this magical, you know what I'm saying?
Like feeling.
It was crazy. I'm telling you, I was standing on the ferry, like by the water, and it was just like this moment, and everything hit me, and I'm just like, yo.
Teary eyes.
No, I legit had, you know what I'm saying? Because I'm sitting there like, yo, like, it's 2014, you got to think. So I'm like, I just started making films, and I'm like, yo, we just made this movie. Like, I just flew to Boston, took a bus, I'm on a ferry, and I'm headed to Martha's Vineyard. At the same time, the Obamas is going to be here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was like the seagulls was like flying in the air, and it was like they were just like suspended. It was just like they were just coasting.
That was a moment to be captured.
It was just like the waves were so serene. It was just like, man, what's happening right now? And it was like, I got there, and I remember it was a lady. She's like the Don. She's like the Don. They call her literally the fairy godmother, like of the island. Like wow. she was the Don. She helped me out. So. Like, everybody knows, like, when you go on that ferry, there's, like, when you go through that journey, she was like, but on the ferry, it was all worth it, wasn't it? And I was like,
how'd you know?
Seriously, so it's not just me. You know what I'm saying? Right. It's like, wow, it's really, because you really got to go through a whole lot to
this
get
this was
there.
Nighttime or like
no, it was daytime. It was daytime. It's like, and you're not, and they're, and the people there, it's like a whole different, it felt like a whole different country, because you're not on that island unless you're supposed to be there.
Yeah, of course.
Right? Like, I mean, it's legit people hitchhiking. Right. That's how safe it is. Mm. Like, you can go and be, people are literally like, oh, hitchhiking, let me catch a ride.
Right.
Because it's no crime, because it's like, you're only there if you're supposed to be there. You see what I'm saying? Mm. So it was just like, that shit was so surreal. And for, you know, to be like premiering that film, and Spike Lee was there. So all this is going through my head. So I'm like, this is the first time I meet Spike.
Wow.
I'm like, this is all, I'm like, yo, this is like, a few years ago, I wasn't even making films, and you know, now I'm actually in Martha's Vineyard about to meet Spike Lee, and Obama's is here too, and you know what I'm saying? And it was just crazy. And honestly, at that time, I was broke. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it was like all of this happening, and I'm like,
I can already feel like what you felt. I'm like, you, is this like, happening? Like,
seriously.
Especially with your circumstances, you're like, I'm not supposed to be here right
it
now.
It was one of those moments where I was like, okay, this is happening. This is what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. Yeah. I'm supposed to be, you know what I'm saying? I'm supposed to be here.
You're right where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, exactly. It was crazy.
Sheds tears.